Fantasy Sports Today.
Oh, yeah. Welcome, everybody,
to Fantasy Sports Today.
Matt Medica back in town. It's crack-a-lagging.
It's good to be back. It's been a fun, exciting, and exhausting time.
Matt Medica, of course, out in Vegas for the NFBC. Greggy,
you're back.
I know, I'm back. I'm here.
Welcome.
Whatever. Good times.
Yeah, announcement. Nando's now the host of the show.
Yeah. TBD. And Jake Seeley. What's up, Jake?
I'm behind your back.
Oh, you know what? We should put Jake up on the TV.
No, we shouldn't.
Yeah, Jake loves that.
Quick backstory. So I go through all this work and effort of putting together a rundown, which when you print it out is 5 pages long.
You can tell.
And almost immediately I get an email from Jake being like, I don't know if I like this. So I think we should punish Jake by putting him on the big TV behind Greg after the first break.
Sure.
You know how you should punish Jake?
What?
Disconnect me.
Making the entire show about baseball?
Disconnect me.
Well,
I'm out. See ya.
That's his punishment. He doesn't have to do the show.
That's not punishment. Jake gets to go take a nap. On today's show, I want to get into, like, rosters are being pared down. There's some moves that I think are very interesting, actually. I want to get into that. To placate Jake, I allowed the MLB predictions with playoff teams, World Series, MVP, AL and NL, Cy Youngs, rookies, breakouts,
busts.
You
don't want to do that. Jake can just join us in BFFs.
I'm just kidding. Oh, it's not placating Jake. I'm just kidding. It was actually a good idea. And if I hadn't already written 5 pages of notes, you know, I could have built something around that.
All right.
But I'm a professional. Let's get right to it. Because I want to, there's an interesting, I guess, first, let's get right into this. Matt Medica, great guy that he is, went to Vegas, and I know we can do this online now or whatever, but he put a $25 bet down for me.
Yeah.
Tigers over 66.5. And here's the interesting part. They're minus 105, which I was surprised by. I thought going the over would be like, you know, a plus 120.
The thing is, when you have win totals in the 60s, everyone should take the over, just because that's so few games.
Except for Marlins.
I wonder if there's a way.
I think you have to take the over in the Marlins, too. It's so few games.
Marlins team's not bad.
60.
That's a Marlins team that is not bad. Jake, you're a Marlins fan.
I should have sent him some money. No, I'm not. I'm a Marlins fan. I wasn't even thinking about that, Matt. I would have sent you some money for the Braves to potentially win the NL East. It was like plus 2,300. I mean, if one or two things goes wrong for the Nationals, I thought that was good money.
I would have actually put more money down for Nando, but I only had like just under 50 bucks, and I was leaving that night, so I had money for, you know, tip the guy at the cab stand.
Dude, you didn't have to do that.
Stuff.
I mean, I thought you were I thought you had cash coming out of your ears out there,
I
man.
Did,
you were
but,
in
you
Vegas.
Know, we partied Friday. Friday was a hell of a fun time. Vlad had a soiree.
Nice.
Mike the Mouth had a party.
Mike the Mouth is the. We got to get him back on. You know what I did? I wonder if there's a place where I could be like Tigers plus 70 and get like a plus 300 out of that.
If you moved it up to 70, I'm sure you'd get, you know.
How do you negotiate that at a Las Vegas casino?
I don't know, but it was great. When I checked into my hotel room, I turned the TV on, casino was on. I was like, this is good.
This is it.
This is good juju.
This is it.
Well, if I would have turned it off immediately, like, what am I doing watching this on TV? Going downstairs.
Why are you trying to play Let's Make a Deal in Vegas?
I'm just, I'm looking at it, and it's cool. Like, if I'm right about this, I get $25, but it's not like I'm going to fly everyone out to Vegas on me to collect my Tigers bet.
But you have an excuse to go to Vegas.
Yeah, that's a good point. To collect my Bellagio bet. Or maybe just send you for
NFFC.
You'd
be like, honey, we're going to stay at the Bellagio now. I got $25.
Let's talk baseball! Jake, if you want to sit out for the next 40 minutes, I understand. I know you don't like baseball.
Yeah. Jake is taking a knee.
So the piece of news that I think...
Jake's going to keep his mouth shut.
Oh, Jake. Oh,
this is like,
come
this
on.
Is like the Seinfeld episode. Jimmy don't like that.
So Shohei Ohtani added to the Angels roster. I know there was like a little bit of rumbling about him possibly being sent down to start the year because he's having such a terrible spring. Okay, fine. Ohtani's made the roster. In a couple drafts I had over the weekend, Matt, I'll start with Ohtani. I was able to get at what I thought. Like, he's like my SP4 on some teams. And I'm like, you know, if this works out, he plummeted down ADPs.
I hadn't drafted him till like my second draft where I had gotten him early on in like the seventh round. Then he went as high as the third. He pulled back a bit. But this weekend in Vegas, the team, me and Vlad split in the main. I think we got him on the 9-10 turn. We were picking 15. And I even bought him in an auction for like $8-9. I look.
So he's at about 150th player taken.
Yeah, he went, I think, in the 12th round in one of the mains. I think now he's actually undervalued.
NFBC treats him as just a pitcher?
Just a pitcher.
All right. Jake, where you have Ohtani ranked, and did you move him up or down to, like, based on his spring?
It's one of the few pitchers I would move down to the spring, because obviously at the adjustment over here, we've seen a lot of pitchers succeed and fail. I mean, he could do the Arabus or he could do the Nomos of the world. So I did move him down because he is struggling, whether it's a translation issue that he's talking about, whether whatever it is, the comfort of facing American batters and knowing how to work the strike zone around them. I still think, like Matt knows this, we've both been kind of high on him. I'm cooler than I was. I moved him down to 27. Originally, I had him right around 20. So he's fallen a couple spots, but the projections are just because I expected a little bit higher ERA and whip. That's what came with it.
Let me run something by you, Greggy. If I told you there was a player who just came over from Japan with a 2.18 ERA, 31 wins over the past three seasons,
I know where this is going.
A 0.994 whip, and a pretty decent 8.0 K per nine. He's got a 5.48 strikeout to walk ratio. Would you jump?
Mikey Mikolas.
The Lizard King, Mike Mikolas, has these amazing... And look... He beats Ohtani in ERA. He beats Ohtani in WHIP. Ohtani obviously has a much higher strikeout per nine. He beats Ohtani in strikeout to walk ratio, and I don't like what wild pitches.
I think Ohtani finishes top 30. Mikolas does not.
All right. I'm saying if you look at Ohtani's numbers like this, right? Like, wow, great. And then you look at the same league, a different player who put three seasons together of these excellent numbers. Greg, is it the strikeout rate being low that's kind of ruins you?
Well, so that's one thing. And the other thing is Miles Mikolas has pitched in the major leagues before, unlike Shohei Ohtani. And listen, he was 24 years old, give or take, and he didn't have that much success, had to go over to Japan. And yes, maybe he figured it out. But it's very, very rare for American pitchers to go to Japan. Yes, Korea, we've seen it with Eric Thames, for instance.
Sure.
But it's very rare for an American pitcher.
That's another guy who's been slipping, who I've been grabbing everywhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. To go to Japan and come back and be a totally new pitcher.
Jake, we'll come back to this. Jake, how many plate appearances do you think Eric Thames is going to get this year?
I did at bats, actually, not plate appearances, but I had at bats. I have him in like the 300 range. The problem is, they already said Ryan Braun started.
Sorry, go ahead, Jake.
Hold on. The fact is Ryan Braun starting at first base when they face lefties. That's really what it comes down to. Ron and Brian's going to be out there. You have Hurricane, you have Yelich, you have Domingo Santana, which was I just tweeted earlier today. People don't realize he was outfielder 12 last year. They're not going to just say, screw you, Santana, we're not giving you playing time. So the odd man out is Eric Thames. He isn't going to get time in the outfield. So really, he's getting first base when they face righties, which is fortunate because there are a lot more righties than there are lefties. But that's why I put him in like the mid-300s for at-bats.
Yeah, Domingo Santana was going like 80th overall for the first couple of months of draft season. And we got him on Saturday at like a 135. So this is a guy who was 24 last year. It put up some really big-time numbers. And I wasn't touching him at 80, but anytime after 100 and where he slipped. The odd man out here to me is Thames. I've taken him in the 21st round.
Sure.
I think that's too extreme. Somebody probably gets traded or works itself out somehow, somewhere.
These things work. Yes. It happens. But I just can't see Eric Thames going that far down. Like, he's good. He hammers
like
the ball.
Like Jake said,
walks.
It's all about the plate appearances at bats, however you
want. Go back to this, right? Chris Carter was cut at leading the league in home runs.
Yeah, but that was home. I mean, I guess you're right, but he's not Eric Thames.
Is he not?
Well, Eric Thames is like a god in Korea.
Yes.
Like, he is beloved. They worship the man.
Yeah, but I bet you if Chris Carter played there. By the way, you know who is very popular in Korea that I learned? In Japan, I guess? Miles Mikolas' wife. It was like a huge celebrity. She's not like a singer or anything. She was just like from her Instagram and Twitter.
If I was Corey, maybe I'd be done for the show now.
Yeah. Well, go Google, Greg.
What about Brad Baxter's wife with the great Twitter handle? Love My Box.
Really?
That's her Twitter.
That's pretty amazing.
Love My Box.
I didn't know that.
Lauren Mikolas.
Yeah. And there are stories written about how she's more popular than Miles Mikolas was in Japan. In Japan, yeah.
I could believe that.
Greg, you know why I got the nickname The Lizard King?
Hopefully you tell me.
He ate a lizard when he was a San Diego Padres farmhand.
Only one?
On to Rob Refsnyder, who is now a Tampa Bay Ray.
She only has 8,000 followers on Instagram.
She's got like 13,000 on Twitter. I don't know. There were stories written about how she's popular. Jakey, I think I got a feeling you're going to say this guy didn't even make your rankings, and this move to the Rays probably isn't going to change anything. But does Rob Refsnyder move anything at all for you?
Actually, no, he didn't make my rankings at all. The fact is, you know, Russ Snyder, I think that he's just going to be a career utility player. I just look at the skill set. I know people got excited a few years ago, but I think that's the overhyping of Yankee prospects like we do all the time. Not we, but just a collective baseball community, whatever it may be. I mean, the Yankees make trades all the time. They actually have a wealth of talent, legitimate talent now. But we know for the past decade before that, it was, you know, the Yankees trade, blah, 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 for this all-star who's having a down year, and none of those guys ever see the light of day in the majors.
Yeah, he's not even AL-only relevant.
Really?
I had an AL-only auction. I don't even, nobody called, even the reserves.
I think the Rays is like, that's the perfect team for Rob Refsnyder. Like the way they can move pieces around, they can play him in the infield, the outfield. He played like six different positions last year.
He's not really very good at any of them.
He's going, oh, look, this is a guy who had a 295 minor league batting average, 320, 316, 318, 293 batting averages. He's stolen 23 bases once. He has some other double-digit steals in there. One year he had 14 home runs, over 515 at-bats, split between AA and AAA. I think there was some and that was when he was 23 years old.
Isn't Tyler Wade a better version of Rob Refsnyder?
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Well, you can say that.
Yeah.
Well, he's currently their fifth outfielder.
So. He just Rob Refsnyder?
No, yeah, Refsnyder. I mean, Cargo can get hurt, the other Cargo.
Right, let's see, we can depend on that.
In my draft last night.
Denard Span is
in my draft, someone last night said, I'll take Cargo. Like, which one?
I think there's some infield. I mean, look, oh, crap, what's his name? The shortstop who came from Seattle a couple
Brad
years
Miller?
Ago. Yeah, Brad Miller. Fallen out of favor a little bit. Did not have a great season follow-up to his breakout.
Were you a big Brad Miller guy, or was it Nick Franklin who you really liked?
Nick Franklin. Yeah, he's in the notes. He's the next guy in the notes. Because he made me think of Rob Refsnyder, like a guy who's infield, outfield. Yo, Nick Franklin is tearing it up this spring, Jake. But there's no, obviously, if there's nowhere for Eric Thames to hit, Nick Franklin is not going to do much for the Brewers. But I do still have
Thames. Say it right.
Ooh.
Eric Tim. All right, on to Jake. So let's talk about the catch rule. Just kidding, Jakey. Brad Boxberger. Brad Boxberger named the closer in Arizona. Speaking of his wife's Twitter handle. Here's an interesting thing, though. Let's just say, and let's not be negative here, but if Brad Boxberger fails, Greggy.
Yes.
Is the backup closer not Archie Bradley?
No, I don't think it is.
It's Serrano?
I think it's Serrano, yeah. I think they view Archie Bradley as their Andrew Miller, as their 7th and 8th inning weapon. I think they can get the most out of him in that kind of spot, basically blowing out the fires. I know the Mets would say the same thing about a guy like A.J. Ramos and Anthony Swarzak, that they want all their fires out. So
I got some Mets quotes coming up.
Jerry Familia can come in the 9th inning and just shut it down. I think more and more of these teams, they've watched the playoffs over the last few years, they realize that's how you can win, and they think Archie Bradley's just better in the 7th, 8th. I think it goes Boxberger, Hirano, and if they have no other choice, that's when they turn to Bradley in the 9th.
Just to piggyback off of Greg, he's right in what he said, and if it was going to be Bradley, it would have been, this would have happened in February.
Yeah.
But I still bought Bradley this week in my biggest auction. I paired him with Andrew Miller. So with them two, especially the way baseball is going right now, you know, say I get 140 innings or so of those two guys back there in my bullpen with one closer, I'm going to get maybe a couple saves here or there, but I'm going to get such extreme ratios. So there's still value.
Jake, let me ask you, would you drop Archie Bradley for Brad Boxberger in like a 12-team roto league right now?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not a question about it. Right. Obviously, Bradley has value like Andrew Miller, but there's not a question about it if you want this. You got to get saves. Saves are going to be they're a commodity nowadays.
I posted a bunch of stats, and I don't know who it is.
Does it name that player? You have to name
No, I actually don't know who it is. I think it's Luke Bard who made the Angels the Rule 5 reliever.
All right, we officially reached the point where I don't know who the player is.
It was Rule 5.
That's how deep we've gone.
A lot of strikeouts.
Come on, Greg. You would have known Refsnyder if he wasn't a Yankee.
I know Refsnyder. I like Refsnyder.
Yeah, everyone likes Refsnyder, Jake. That's a heck of a thing to say about your friend.
You know who Luke Bard was, dude?
Who we banking on as a closer for the Angels, Matt?
Like it's going to be Parker, but I've been betting on Bedrosian for years, but I've learned that Socha is a psychopath, so you really can't trust it.
Would you say he's a sociopath?
Sociopath.
All right.
There you go. So, I mean, it looks like Parker, if I have to bet the money who finishes with the most saves, I'm still going to go with Bedrosian. I think he's the most talented. And at some point, hopefully, he gets that spot and runs with it.
So I had also read reports about Bedrosian in this Archie Bradley, Andrew Miller type of role. They thought that he could be most effective in the 7th and 8th innings. Now, I think there's a better chance that he winds up in the 9th because we've seen Blake Parker really, really struggle this spring. And Mike Socha really not be able to find a closer over the last few years. I also think this is a good landing spot potentially for Greg Holland because They have no problem paying. This bullpen is a little bit unstable. I think Greg Holland could end up in L.A.
I like that, Greg.
Jakey, you're a ranker supreme. What did you do with Greg Holland? I mean, it seems like we've gotten close enough now where he hasn't signed with anybody.
Close enough. It's opening day tomorrow.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, but I mean, even
hours
if drafts,
away.
People are still taking him in drafts. His ADP is still relatively high if you go by the draft room ADP. Jake, how do you approach a Greg Holland when you have to rank him somewhere?
I have him lower than most everybody. Most people still have him in the 30s. I have him in the 40s because the fact is he probably, like, this point isn't signing unless something major happens and the team's willing to. The problem is the compensation. I know it's not the exact same. I don't think it's a first round, but there's compensation tied to him. There's the problem with baseball. So it's going to take some time. I think he doesn't sign until after June like Kendrys Morales did last year, or not last year, that one time a few years ago. So that's what you're looking at. And at that case, even if he is the closer at that point, what are you talking about, 13 saves on the year? He's kind of like your third, fourth closer.
Keeps the arm fresh.
Honestly, though, he was so miserable in that second half. I wasn't really excited about him this year heading into the season. So
I don't think it has to take something drastic for a team to sign him. I think if you just lose a couple of games early with a blown bullpen, somebody, a contender, will sign him.
It seemed like Baltimore. If something happens with Brad Brock and they don't have Zach Britton back until June.
Yeah, I bet Alex, I can't get over Cobb got that money. I mean, he turned down that money from the Cubs. And I was like, what a fool. But look,
playing us all for fools.
I'm not a Cobb guy, but hey, at least Baltimore did better than Ubaldo or Yovani Gallardo.
We'll see.
We got some Baltimore talk coming up, including Anthony Santander, who looks like he's made the Orioles.
The bank.
Get out your Greggles. We'll be right back with more FST after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Welcome back, friends. Fantasy Sports Today. Maddie Medica, Greg Arland, and Jake Seeley. So I just got one of the most annoying emails during the break of all time.
I didn't send you anything.
No, Jakey.
How was it going, Jake?
It was from Adam Azer, stating that this league that he talked me into, daily transactions begin tomorrow.
Love it!
Why?
Love it!
It's not even daily lineup change. It's daily transactions.
It's great.
Like a step beyond.
Oh, I prefer it.
Greg.
Yeah.
He's messed up, man.
No, how many of these
you know,
right
Greg
now?
Needs to get married.
What?
I think he is in Europe.
Yeah, that's right. Legally. I'm in like seven.
You're still in seven, because I know you've dropped out of a bunch.
Well, there's some slow draft leagues that I like, and some a couple draft and holds.
So to me, and I've had this problem when we were on the team, number one, if I'm watching baseball right now, right, like the game's going on today, like this time tomorrow, we'll have multiple games going on. Let's say closer goes down.
Yeah.
Right? I want that moment to put in a bid for tomorrow when the transaction, the waiver goes through. I want to put in a bid right then and there. If I have to wait till Sunday night, I'm going to forget everything.
Well, then you do it right then and there, but you put your bid in for the Sunday night.
But I'm not going to know how much I'm going to bid because there's going to be other guys.
That's
fun.
That's the game. What's the
great point about that? If it happens on a Tuesday, say. Yeah. Say the closure goes down, you got replaced, whatever. By Sunday night, everybody's keyed in on that. And now you really got to pay a lot of money.
Correct.
You got to make that decision.
I don't like
that. Is it worth $300+, $400 for this closer.
Yeah, but right. Jake, if you're like Jake, you know, at home and it happens and at 3:30, he's like, boom, got him at 3:31.
Love it.
No, nobody's saying first come, first serve.
I do that.
I'd
be so down for that.
No, I auto decline first come, first serve. I don't care if it's football, baseball, whatever it is. That's the worst thing in fantasy.
I just hate that. I just think it takes all the strategy away. The strategy for that is pay the most attention during the day.
Right.
I like,
but you can have daily. I like daily transactions, but daily every single day you have fab.
Yeah, I like, so if I'm thinking like, all right, Jake might bid 40 because he needs a closer. I should probably go 41. I'm out thinking this, and then Jake ends up bidding 7, and I'm an idiot because I bid 41.
100%.
That's fun.
To me, it also keeps me in tune with baseball, so I have to read every night to make sure I'm not missing anything. You could just, you know, you put in your lineup, you forget about it. Well, you can't do anything with your lineup. I put my starters in. What's up?
So you can go the other way, too. Not actually wasted $30 already in labor, already. But the fact is because it's
not a waste.
That wasn't a waste. You got some pretty good players.
Who did you get?
I did, but it was $35. But that's my point, is if we had daily transactions, the problem with that is it's a weekly roster. I had no corner infielder because of the injuries already that I've suffered. So I had to be aggressive. Whereas if you had daily transactions, I could be like, all right, I missed on Sunday. Now roll out Monday. Now I know what's left. Now I can bid. Like, I don't like having only the once a week because you have to be so aggressive on all these players and then you don't get that chance the next day.
Greggy brought cologne.
I had one bid so far this year, which happened on Sunday, that I was very happy to get. In a league I did February 10th, online championship, Scott Kingery was available.
Ooh.
I bid $333. The runner-up was $289.
You got to feel great about that.
Well, yeah. And I have him pretty much everywhere else.
Scott Kingery in my 12-team draft last night. Scott Kingery went in.
I like the people who are still complaining about Scott Kingery's contract, even though Jonathan Singleton proved that.
100%.
He can make $65 million over the course of this contract.
Not bad.
And if he's that great, like Salvador Perez, they'll redo the contract at some point.
All right. Greg, while you're looking that up, I wanted to read
What am I looking up?
I thought you said you were looking something up. Scott Kingery.
Well,
he was in the 17th round of my draft last night.
All right. I drafted in my biggest league. I drafted him 9-9 in a 15-teamer.
Ahead of Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, I believe so.
Wow. Okay, Rangers closer situation. I just want to hit this one really quickly. Jeff Bannister was saying, we got a couple guys who are comfortable closing out a game for us. Keela, Jepsen, Diekman. He also mentioned Claudio. The question I have, Jakey, where's Matt Bush in this conversation? I know they're trying to stretch him out, but he's back in the bullpen.
Yeah, I was excited for Matt Bush in some deeper leagues earlier this season, and you thought that he could take that step forward to be in the bullpen, actually in the rotation, not the bullpen. But to your point, is now where is he? And the problem is now back in the bullpen. Maybe he's a swing man. Maybe he fills in with somebody, hits the 10-day DL or something like that. But all that value pretty much went out the window.
Manager's naming four people before he names Matt. Doesn't he name Matt Bush?
Well, Keone Keela, Hawaiian Punch, is the guy with the best skills there. And last year he was immature. He got sent down. I don't know. I forget the thing that happened.
Yep.
But this is the guy that should be the closer. I know Claudio got the saves last year and all that, but hopefully it's Keeler. Sounds like he's getting the first crack. If he does, hopefully he runs it for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think Keeler, who, again, you're right, probably has the best stuff. I hope he gets the best crack, the first crack also. Of course, managers don't always make it easy for us, but it makes it very hard to locate what you want to do in Texas or St. Louis or Chicago. There's a lot of mixed up situations this year, Nando.
I feel like it happens every year, though. This year doesn't feel any worse than the rest.
Maybe it's because it's good teams. Like, St. Louis should be a pretty good team. We have no idea who their closer is.
And also, there are a lot of young managers who we don't know what their tendencies are either. It always used to be like, oh, Jim Leland, you know, likes the one closer. And now it's like, what is Aaron Boone like?
Well, Aaron Boone has
we got a guy, but I'm just saying, you know.
Being that we're talking all these, like, deep names today, we've mentioned some. I'm hoping Dan Vogelbach is on this list.
I thought Dan Vogelbach was actually too secure in his role now. Yeah.
He's got two mainstream.
But go ahead. Okay. Jake, okay to talk Dan Vogelbach for a minute?
Sure.
Yeah, Jake. We're going to send him a Dan Vogelbach Funko Pop. Go ahead, Matt.
No, I mean, Healy seems like he's healed much quicker. I did that. But this is a guy that's always been able to hit. He can't field or nothing like that, but he's always had a bat, and maybe he's put too much pressure on himself. You know, 7 home runs in the spring. Yes, it's springtime. But if somehow, some way, this guy does work himself into some ABs, I don't know how that's going to happen, though. Seems like he's on the wrong team for this with Nelson Cruz as a DH. But he's an interesting guy, especially in, you know, deeper leagues we're talking, and especially AL only. But somebody that could be fun to watch this year.
Jake, did you adjust Vogelbach in your rankings? I know coming in, there was like no shot he was going to do anything. And he just kind of fought his way into a role.
He still doesn't have a role, though. That's the problem. Is Ryan Healy's back? If Ryan Healy was out, absolutely. But the problem is he going to get a smattering of 80 games, but those games only being one or two at bats per game? I'm with you. The guy's still only 25. I'm with you on the talent and getting a role. And as Matt said, if it wasn't for Nelson Cruz, he could probably DH. The opportunity is going to be somewhere eventually, whether it's with this team. Maybe it gets hurt again, or maybe he gets traded to a team that could use DH help. But the problem is right now, he's got nowhere to play. He's got no opportunity. So I think if you have Vogelbach in like a 15 team or more, he's a stash. But the problem, like I said, where is he getting the at-bats?
And who do you stash? Do you stash Vogelbach or do you stash like Keone Aquila? If Alex Claudio's
name. Oh, you got Aquila.
I just want to make
absolutely.
Sure.
Speaking of pitchers.
I'd even stash Claudio.
Sorry for interrupting. Your boy, Nate Eovaldi, who I feel is one of your guys, too.
Oh, something happened?
Yeah, he's hurt again.
Is he really?
Shoulder or elbow?
Elbow.
So, well, that's okay, man.
Well, I mean, he has loose bodies in his right elbow. Oh, could be facing surgery.
That sucks.
I mean, he was a guy that should have been a reliever like years ago. Like they should have just made that
absolutely. Brandon Morrow's guy, really.
I remember watching, there was that show, I think it was on Showtime. It was like Hard Knocks, but for baseball.
Oh, the Giants?
No, I'm sorry. It was about the Marlins. When Eovaldi was still with the Marlins. And I remember Eovaldi doesn't get a lot of strikeouts, you know, has a kind of high whip, and like Eovaldi's throwing 96, 97. Like, wait, something doesn't add up here. And you're right. He's got the gas, but he likes to hit the bats.
Yeah, no matter how hard you throw, you can't throw it straight.
I know, just still throw 97.
They can hit 100 mile an hour fastball.
You throw 96, 97, you work on a changeup, you work on some secondary.
Yeah, he's not going to do that part, though.
He didn't do that. Interesting situation in San Francisco.
Do we want to talk about who might benefit from Eovaldi?
There's no one left.
There's no one left. It's Chris Archer and Jacob Faria.
Oh,
no, but there's guys like Anthony Bonder that could step in. I mean, Austin Pruitt. Matt Andres is probably the guy that's going to get the spot now, who I kind of do like in deep leagues. He's probably going to be like that long relief kind of guy. He's shown some flashes here or there. So, look, if you're in a 15-teamer, these guys are going to have some relevance. Yanni Chirinos. You know, there's just his names just to keep, you know, see what happens here. But
Jake, strange situation in Giants land. San Francisco Giants are unsure if Mark Melancon will be ready for opening day, according to NBC Sports Bay Area. And this is the quote from, I want to say, RotoWire, where I got it. Melancon is apparently feeling something in his arm, though manager Bruce Bochy wouldn't elaborate. Jake, when you read that last sentence, how much do you panic, and what do you do?
You panic a decent amount, honestly. Like, this is the first time that Melancon has not had an injury problem, so I think that you definitely have to worry if he's on your team and you go out there. I don't know, Tony Watson. The problem is we saw Tony Watson back in the day, too, with the Pirates and the matchup situation of whether he can handle the lefties and righties, and you look at the split. So I think that would be my guess off the top. Maybe, I don't know, I'm trying to think who they – I don't think it would be Hunter Strickland, but that's honestly what I think it will be more than anything. Oh, I forgot they have Sam Dyson. That might be the best option, but I think that you're also looking at potential. It could be a three-man horse, and, like, you know, they just kind of play the matchups.
Blah.
Yeah, me and Vlad took Sam Dyson with the first pick in the 30th round, so that could pay off nice.
Can we just get Vlad on the phone?
He's terrible, too. I mean, so.
Vlad Sedler?
No, Sam Dyson. I see you starting something.
Greggy, I got a quote from Dave Island, the Mets pitching coach.
Yes.
If the guys in front of Familia do what they're supposed to do, then we will have him sitting there for the ninth.
That's right.
And then follows it up with this gem. But if we have to use him the seventh or eighth to win those innings, then we will. Like, well, then why say anything, dude?
Well,
that's like, I like Greg, unless he's a jerk.
Then you right? Like, well, then you would like me. So, but it makes. But listen, if you tear that apart a little bit, he's our guy in the ninth inning. We want to save him to get to the ninth inning. But if the game is on the line in the 7th and 8th and our guys aren't getting it done, they'll put Familia there. Ultimately, they want Familia in the 9th. That's what I take away from that. I drafted Jarius Familia last night. After reading that, I felt good.
Yeah, I think you just deconstructed that well.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
Look, he's their guy, but they have so many other pieces. And you have a pitching coach. I'm very happy with this signing for the Mets as their coach with Mickey Callaway. And maybe he's going to do a couple things different here or there, but eventually all teams settle on one guy. That's how it always ends up.
Of course, because everyone basically has their
hierarchy.
Yeah. Their hierarchy.
Want to
hierarchy. Their exactly.
They want to go in. They want to know. Look, I'm getting up in the seventh. I'm getting up in the eighth.
And there's something to that. And you talk to any reliever during a season, after season, whatnot, and they always say, I feel much more comfortable knowing this could be my part of the game rather than having no idea when they're going to come in.
I'd like to move along. We got to get to Jake's predictions. But first.
No, we don't.
I know, Jake. But I want to. Because we're friends. We got a couple minutes, I think, until the break. Sean Newcomb. Just as I'm going through all my drafts this weekend, right?
Oh, one of the most intriguing arms in MLB. One of the most young, intriguing arms.
I think we're underrated in the crap.
The problem is he's young. He has control issues like most young pitchers. But, I mean, the stuff is there. Can he make that jump this year? Or is he? I mean, I've been drafting him in some big leagues, so I'm hoping that the transition does start to happen now. In spring, what, 15, 16 innings, 15 strikeouts, like 4 or 5 walks? That's encouraging, but it's still springtime.
I put Sean Newcomb and Jake Junis next to each other all spring.
Oh, why, Greggy?
I think
doesn't strike anybody out. Yeah, Newcomb's got a 10-plus K per nine.
I had Newcomb higher, but right. I thought they were both young emerging pitchers that kind of needed to find the strike zone. And last night, for instance, I did not get Newcomb. I took Junis, and I like Newcomb. I think Matt really hit the nail on the head there about what he can be. Is this the year? Maybe. But I think there's a lot of potential with Sean Newcomb.
Jake, you got to love Sean Newcomb if you're loving this Braves to win the NL East thing, right?
Yeah, so you know what? This is why you buy the draft kit a month ago when I was saying these things a month ago.
Well, Jake, I don't know what that means. I wasn't hosting a show a month ago. Jake, would you put him, I guess, higher than the average Sealy?
Fair? Yeah.
All right. I mean,
I'm looking at, I have him 22 spots higher than the consensus, if that makes you feel better.
We got a caller. Do we break at 37?
No, we have 40. We got time.
Oh, yeah, all right. Let's take the caller, man. Who's the caller?
Who we got, Chris?
Yeah, Chris Cannon, our producer. Hello?
Hello. Hello. You guys there?
Yeah, what's happening, man? Welcome to the show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Johnny from Austin. How you guys doing?
What's up, Johnny?
Johnny. Say hi to the guys.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Big fan during football season. Hopefully, you guys can give me some help here in baseball season also.
All right, let's do it, man. What's your question?
So I'm in a 12-team points league and ran into a little trouble at starting pitcher during my snake draft. Currently, I have Bumgarner and Samardzija on the DL. So this is what my starters are looking like. Yu Darvish, Aaron Nola, Luis Castillo, Zach Godley, and Marcus Stroman.
Jeez,
pretty good to me.
Yeah, holy crap.
Those arms.
Yeah, you can survive.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Considering that Bumgarner and Samardzija, but yeah, I mean, those are
better than my rotation.
You have an excellent five.
Thank you, guys.
Is there anybody who's looking to pick up?
Yeah, that's where. Tyler Glass now, I kind of put on my watch list. And then who's the other kid? Amir Garrett from the Reds. I was thinking about adding him also. But I think he's going to be in the pen to start the year, correct?
Yes, the start of the year he's going to be in the pen. But in a head-to-head points, I think you need more starters. So
yeah, but you know what? Are you playing on CBS, Johnny?
No, ESPN Points League.
Some of these leagues, when a guy gets relief pitcher eligibility, you can keep him in the relief pitcher role, okay, and he will rack up starter points like crazy. Mm-hmm. So it might be worth it to maybe...
Okay, so,
is your commissioner
No. So actually, it's funny you say that because I got Tyler Chatwood right now in my starting rotation also. But since he's got the slash RP, I put him in a closer role so I could get an extra start because I kind of passed on closers just because you never know what's going to happen. So I got Brandon Morrow to solidify at least saves and then Chatwood also as the SPRP.
Yeah, so I think you're good, man.
If I was going to pick up a middle reliever, it'd be like C.J. Edwards just in case Morrow gets hurt.
When he gets hurt?
Yeah.
I think what you have is fine. Your starters are really, really good. You're in a good spot.
Jake, what do you think? Give this rotation a grade. Darvish, Nola, Castillo, Godley, Stroman in a 12-team points league.
And chat.
I'm significantly concerned about Stroman, honestly. I don't like the reports that are coming from the team about his arm, and I would make plans to potentially lose him as well. That's all I'm saying.
Who's this?
Yeah, who did you say you broke up when you said his name?
Stroman.
All right, fair enough.
Stroman.
All right, Johnny. Well, sorry Jake ran down your parade, but the rest of us like your rotation.
All I say is be prepared. Just have a backup plan.
Was there something from the other night?
Thanks for the call, Johnny.
The other night, they were saying how good he looked, but I didn't hear anything else.
No, I actually agree with Jake on this one. For some reason, it's sticking in my head that there was something going on with Stroman, but I can't remember what.
Well, there was early in spring. He seems fine now, but I do understand the concern.
That was some pitch he did to Marcelo Zuna. That was pitching porn.
Sure was.
Keep the calls coming. 844. I can do this.
I'm very excited. I
just like in Star, like Star, I can do this. I can do this. 844-846-789.
No!
6879.
Yeah!
Maybe you should say.
844-843-6879.
Thank you, everybody, and good night.
He did make a graphic that said 888-84-MIGSY.
Try to be, I'll be
he made a gra- He also made another graphic that said 844-843-6789. He did that.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. Maybe we'll just hit on Anthony Santander very quickly and then move on to the MLB predictions.
Dang!
You got 10 minutes left, YouTube. We'll be right back. Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go. Welcome back, everybody. Just doing a little work. Greg Sussman, Matt Medica, Jake Seeley. We're here for FST. Taking you, well, if you're watching us online live, how's it going in there, by the way?
It's going well. People are enjoying the podcast.
Nice. Well, hey, let's knock out some questions after this little spiel.
Let's do it.
We're going to be out of here at about 50, if you're watching us live. So in about 5 minutes, we're going to take us off so we can set up for the Fantasy BFFs.
It's coming your way next. We're going to talk about my draft, which will be exciting. We're also going to preview. It's opening day tomorrow, obviously, which means we have a lot of teams playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But weeks could end then, and there's certain pitchers that aren't pitching. So if your lineups are a weekly league and it locks Thursday, unlocks Monday, we're going to let you know who you can take out of your lineup because they're not going to pitch this week.
Sounds like fun.
It's going to be a good show.
I'm in a stupid league where this whole week and a half is a week.
Yeah. I wonder if most leagues are like
that. I think most. Oh, not normal rotisserie leagues. Am I right? Am I right? Points League's the scourge of the earth.
I love it.
Even though Johnny from Austin's a cool dude. I'm not going to besmirch him. Anyway, you'll have to Google search Anthony Santander. But just know he's a
really
former Rule 5 pick. Made the Baltimore Orioles. And should be very interesting. Had a little power and some steals in the minor leagues. Decent batting average. All right, Jakey. Your time to shine. Let's go through some MLB predictions that no one prepared for. Playoff teams. Jake likes the Braves. We lost Jake again. Oh, then guess what? No Jake. No need to do any of this crap. Let's go to Ryan Lamar, who made the Twins roster. Ah, oh, Jake's back. All right. Just kidding. Jake. Playoff teams. Go.
That's my response.
That was it, huh?
All right, let's do this. Jake likes the Braves.
Yes.
I like the White Sox. I think the White Sox have good enough bats. I think they're going to develop this year, but I think their arms are surprisingly better than people think they are. And Nate Jones, Johnny Fireballer at the end of that bullpen, I think is going to be in the closer and get like 30 saves this year.
You like the White Sox more than you like the Tigers?
Well, no, I like the Tigers to win more than 65.5 games.
Well, no,
and I'm willing to put
26.5 games.
Oh, come on,
Medica. Just to be correct.
That's true. I got to PayPal you money.
Soria has been fine. Good. Why can't Soria hold on to the job? He's been fine holding on to the job in the past. Like, I'm with you. Like, but we've been saying Nate Jones for how many years now?
Quite a few.
Well, keeps getting hurt.
Well, aren't they going to split them both up? I think they want to trade both.
Really?
I think Nate Jones had a contract for a short amount of time for a reasonable amount.
His is more team friendly. Yes. Soria is the guy they definitely
that was what I read.
Want to move, but it would behoove them to move both, actually, and get as much as they possibly can. I think the White Sox have a really good young core, and they have the pitching as well, but I still think they're like a year or two away.
I have Kopech in a league that I inherited. I feel good about that. But he's not one of the guys that I had drafted myself. So I'm kind of like, I put him on the block. I'm like, I don't want Kopech in this dynasty league that we're in.
I got shelled in the spring.
Well, and plus no one's biting for some reason. I don't know why.
Not yet. They will.
Not yet. Someday.
Just the control's not there.
yet.
Whit was over two. That's terrible.
Jake, do you think the Astros are due for a hard beatdown this year, I guess? Come to earth?
There's no such thing as being due for that.
They got
the hangover. You talking about the World Series
hangover, but also the rotation. The rotation is not without risk at all.
No, but they have. You know, you got Peacock, you got Colin McHugh. I mean, they got guys that would be number three and fours on most teams.
David Paulino.
No, it sounds lazy. If we were gonna, I was gonna actually say the Astros and Dodgers again this year in the World Series. Those are the two best teams in baseball. It's not even a question in my mind.
Yeah, I think a team like Cleveland could take them out in the playoffs. You know, when it comes to the playoffs, it's all about pitching.
Of course.
And, you know, if you're watching, if Bauer makes that step, if Danny Salazar gets healthy over the next month, you know, it's always a big if. I mean, he's got the stuff to be a top 10 starter. That's how good he is on a per inning, per pitch basis. But, you know,
we can say ifs for any team. I'm just saying, all I was saying, if you're talking about pure roster standpoint, pure talent, those are the best two rosters.
Oh, no, I'm not arguing that point. I'm just saying, you know, like the Yankees, if the Yankees add another pitcher. I mean, to me, the key to this season is who gets Chris Archer, because he's getting traded. And the Dodgers, I mean, it makes too much damn sense for him to go to the Dodgers. They need somebody after Kershaw. It's 130 inning arms right after him. So you're going to need that number two. They had Darvish.
Oh, Alex Wood. I mean, Alex would go 180. Come on, he's building up stamina.
You see that stamina he had in the second half last year?
That's out. Well, because he hadn't built up his stamina.
By the way, speaking of some of these younger players, I know a guy you were really high on this offseason has been Dustin Fowler. He's your guy. He officially will start the season in AAA.
Yeah, that seemed like that was coming. I'm not really that worried. It's, you know, Boog Powell had a good spring, but he's not a guy that's going to eclipse him in the long term. The thing with Fowler is he got off to a really slow start. He started picking it up. These were the tea leaves that he was going to start there if you drafted him. I mean, if it's a shallower league, you could drop him, but in a 15-team league, he's riding my bench.
Greg, anything going on in the chat room?
Before we got
to say goodbye to everybody streaming.
So we had some questions, and again, come back to the chat. BFFs will be back coming up.
Just give us 10 minutes.
About 10 minutes from now.
We got to change the TVs.
We do. So here's some questions I'll throw mad at you, and feel free to answer anybody. Jump in. Ian Happ or Scott Kingery?
I go Ian Happ. Jake is about to say Kingery.
That's a tough
one. No, not. It's not even close. This is a mile. Hi, Ian Happ.
It's Happ, but if Kingery, you know, how many stolen bases? The whole thing with me with Kingery is how many at-bats is he going to get? And Happ has now the leadoff role. I don't know what Kingery, where he's batting, where he's playing. Does he settle in at third base? Does Franco lose a job? Does he settle in the outfield? I don't know, but it's going to be interesting.
None of this one's for you. Ronaldo Lopez or Carson Fulmer?
Carson Fulmer I thought was going to be awesome, and I think he still might be. And actually, in out-of-the-park baseball, that OOTB game that I'm obsessed with. He was on my World Series champion San Diego Padres 2022 team. But I do think Ronaldo Lopez is on a better track right now. Over, you know, until the time we hit 2020, I think it's going to be Lopez.
Hey. Yeah, it was not close for me.
Lopez is Lopez. For you. Same to you, Jake?
Yeah.
Jake, also, different question. Shohei Ohtani, we talked about him a little bit before. On Sunday, he pitches his first Major League game. The chat wants to know, would you throw him out there and start him in his first ever Major League game, given the struggles of the spring?
Nope. There's no need to.
Ooh.
He will be in my starting day.
In your starting lineup.
For me?
Yeah.
It might as well, man. If you got Ohtani, go for it.
I agree.
He might be one of those guys who just like, spring training, whatever, dude. Let me wait till the regular season.
Whatever, dude.
I mean, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you try tuning up random things and not get away your entire...
Don't show away like a fork ball that you
have. Yeah, exactly.
He will finish as a top 30 starting pitcher this
year. Jake doesn't believe us. He's groaning.
I told you where I have him ranked. I have him ranked inside the top 30. That being said, I'm treating the first time off the DL. You can get a hell of a lot more bad than good out of one start. What's the best case scenario? Seven innings, no earned runs, and seven strikeouts? You're going to do a hell of a lot more damage if he comes out and looks anything like he has in the spring.
He's right.
It's true.
But you got to be hopeful. All right, we got to say goodbye to our streaming audience right now. If you're listening and wondering what we're talking about, we're live every day on YouTube, Twitch, Periscope, which is also Twitter, and a couple other places.
Facebook.
I don't think I set up Facebook before we came up here.
We are not on Facebook.
Not today, friends. And BFFs will likely be on. So, toodaloo, everyone streaming us on videos. Come back in like 10 minutes. BFFs will be here. We love you.
New color scheme.
Oh, what game got canceled?
The Nationals and the Reds have been postponed. Rain, a lot of rain in the area tomorrow in Cincinnati. So traditionally, Cincinnati usually one of the first games to kick off. Present is usually in Cincinnati, I think, right?
Not sure about that.
I know the past president's been in Cincinnati, but nonetheless, it would be the Nationals and the Reds from the Great American Ballpark on Friday instead. Homer Bailey and Max Scherzer both expected to go.
Tell you what, Jakey, that Nationals rotation is boring, man. I was going through this Nationals team, and they're just kind of a boring team. I mean, I like Rendon. I like Harper. But after that, man, like after Strasburg, you're like, and Scherzer, you're just kind of like, bleh.
I'm betting Robles gets up at some point this year and is a difference maker.
Jake, do you think that works in the Nationals' favor that they're just boring and like every other starter is being overlooked? I mean, you got Strasburg, Gio, and Scherzer, and then you're like, what?
No, I think it works in our favor, fantasy purposes, if you're taking the other players on the team. There's that's the fine. I'll take the boring production.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I think so, too. So one guy that just fell in my draft last night, I'm sorry for keep going back to it, but it's fresh in my mind. Boring new is Tanner Roark. Like, he just kept falling and falling and falling. I get it. He's boring. He had a bad year last year.
Is that a Florio favorite?
But that it is. But that caper now is
all the stats.
It was very, very good.
Al loves him.
Yeah. So you got the Tanner Roark. He's like my sixth starter. I feel good about it.
Did you?
Yes.
I don't know, man. When I end up picking guys I don't like, I just walk away and I'm like, I guess I feel good.
Okay, so there's a guy like that I didn't pick. Like, it was free falling. That was Eddie Rosario. I know you like.
No, I don't.
You love Eddie Rosario.
Stop pinning Eddie Rosario on me.
So he just kept falling.
I love Eddie Rosario, then. Fine. I love him.
Jake, yeah, give it to Jake.
This dude fell and fell and fell. The guy that took him was like, all right, at some point I just had to take him. What makes you like Eddie Rosario?
Because he broke out last year, and he's always had the hit tool. He's still a young guy. That was the other person. I tweeted out, Domingo Santana was 12th, Eddie Rosario was 17th in outfielders last year. What the hell is people's problem with him?
I don't know.
I mean, I like Rosario. I know people are high on him. I'm not as high as others. I think he's a good player, but
that's it. That's like what you did just encapsulated Eddie Rosario for me and Tanner Roark. And like it's, you know, people like him. He's good, but I don't see my roster. I'm like, whatever, man. There's Eddie Rosario. He's not going to hit 40 home runs, you know? I don't think he will.
Are you interested in hearing the Yankees opening day lineup?
Can we guess it?
Yeah, sure.
Let's have Jake try and guess it. Leadoff is not Aaron Judge.
No.
I would have gotten a lot more texts from like my brother and my family. And...
All right, give it to me, Jake.
All right, Jake, go ahead. Take your guess.
I said Gardner.
And Gardner, and then who?
We got one.
You have a lot of other players.
I don't know. I don't really give a damn.
All right. Jake, come on, man.
Do you want
to
guess Nando instead?
Gardner?
Yep.
Judge?
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Then who goes between Judge and Stanton?
I think Stanton goes third.
You think Stanton goes third, not fourth?
I think Sanchez would be fourth.
All right. Is he right?
Is that what we're going with?
Wait. Honk the horn like in Price and the Red. Gentlemen, do we have at least one Yankee starter correct?
Matt, you are correct. It was Judge, Stanton, Sanchez. That is correct. You've gotten 1 through 4 correct. Can you do 5 through 9?
Didi?
Incorrect.
9.
Go to Matt Modica.
Tyler Austin, probably 9. Let's work our way back from the bottom.
Tyler Austin is 9.
Tyler Austin, number 9. Oh, no, wait. You wouldn't put Neil Walker 5, maybe.
Aaron Hicks is 5th?
Aaron Hicks is 5th. That is correct,
wow.
Matt Modica.
So they're restarting the lineup, basically.
What do you mean that's correct? I said it.
I didn't hear you say
it. I didn't hear Jake say it.
Jake, we stopped paying attention to you when you gave up after Gardner.
All right, that's cool. Whatever.
All right, let Jake pick the next one.
All right, we're looking for 6, 7, 8, Jakey.
No, we stopped paying attention to Jake.
Well, now we started again.
We didn't hear it.
No, too late.
Right. Okay, so who's 6th?
Yeah.
Would it be Didi?
It would be Didi Gregorius.
And then it's got to be Neil Walker.
I'm going to go to Matt. You already got one wrong.
I know.
So I'll go to Matt.
So we got 7 and 8.
Look at 7 and 8. Tyler Austin is 9.
I feel like I'm missing somebody here.
Jake, well, he thinks about that.
Can I reveal to you who you're missing?
$100 fab. What would you bid on Tyler Austin tonight?
There's Neil Walker and somebody else.
$2.
Would you expect him to play 5 of the 7 days?
Brandon Jury.
No.
So I would go Drury and then Walker. Like, so they split the. What is Tyler Wade? Righty, lefty? He's righty, right?
Austin's a righty.
Yeah, so I think they mix it up. So they go Drury, Walker, I would think.
That's why. Not notes in your answer. That's why he only gets 3 days. Because you have Wade, you have Drury, you have Walker. I don't see Austin getting more than 3 days a week.
I feel like Tyler Austin's just going to roll with that first base job.
Matt Modica's gotten 100%.
And he's going to only be there potentially until Andrew Haar is ready, which they have Andrew Haar playing first base. He's not going to have time.
Sorry, Jake and I have been having a side conversation about the Yankees first base. interesting. Tyler Austin, starting first baseman for this Yankees team on opening day.
You want to who's... It's a shame. I'd like to see the Yankees have it first base. Is Billy McKinney? He started the spring really hot.
Mm-hmm. Then didn't get a hit the spring.
But he's a guy that I did bid on this past Sunday in AL only, and I'm hoping that he gets a shot.
You know who I'd love to see? Peter O'Brien.
Peter O'Brien.
Peter O'Brien's no longer with the Yankees.
I know he's.
I think he's in the Dodgers
organization.
Is he still with the Dodgers?
Hey, you know who could play first base for the Yankees? Yasmani Tomas.
No.
He's probably not a very good first baseman. He hasn't.
Peter O'Brien, I believe, is still with the Dodgers.
He's in the Dodgers, mired in the Dodgers organization somewhere.
He is.
Poor guy.
I thought he made it with the Royals. Desmond. He didn't.
What would you say, Jake?
A trade for Ian Desmond.
Oh, too much money. They're not putting the money in the books.
Hey, we were going through Ian Desmond.
Oh, yeah. The Yankees don't have the money.
They're going to try and get under the cap, man.
I'm sure Colorado would eat some of that salary.
A lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they would.
I don't know. I don't think Colorado's in the business of eating salary.
Where are you going to put Ian Desmond? You can't put him in the outfield. Raimel Tapia
They're
is going to take
eating salary
off.
By not playing Ian Desmond every day.
You guys love Raimel Tapia.
Everyone's guilty by association with me and Raimel Tapia.
I do love Raimel Tapia.
I mean, David Dahl's the stash for me with that team. I think at some point he's going to get up. Maybe he doesn't play. He's in the minors, but at some point he gets up. And everybody loved the guy a year ago. He was a 6-round pick.
I'm with you on that. And Ron McMahon starting at first base now, looks like.
Yep.
Jake, how many wins do you think Colorado's going to have?
The team?
Yeah.
88.
How many did you say? 88? 88. I think I heard it was 82 and a half or something like that.
Really?
They won 87 games last year.
We should send you back out to Vegas.
We should.
Now that Jake is hearing all this stuff. Yeah. Jake's going to PayPal you $40. Go to Vegas. Interesting. Jake, who's your American League Cy Young Award winner? Mine's Matt Boyd.
No, it's not.
Why not?
It's Sale. It's Chris Sale.
Should
have been Chris Sale last year.
I'm going to go with Luis Severino.
I like that.
I always say Sale. I'll say Carlos Carrasco.
I feel like Jose Berríos could put together a sub-2 ERA year.
I don't feel that way.
No, really? He can't.
Why can't he? He's done it before in the minors, hasn't he?
He needs to fix those home road splits.
He's got... no control.
Who's the NL Cy Young?
Taiwan Walker.
Cheer so much.
Why?
it should just be who isn't Kershaw. That should be the question.
Yeah, that really should be.
Oh, you mean the guy with a bunch of injury history the last couple of years?
Shouldn't you say Scherzer or Kershaw? Shouldn't that be the
question? I think Kershaw pitches 200 innings this year.
Love it. Cool. Love it.
That's why these are boring. Like, it's the same answers.
Well, we'll say not Kershaw. That's why
Scherzer.
If you would have saw my show sheet, it was besides these guys.
I didn't copy and paste that,
if it's
Jake.
If it's not Kershaw, Jacob DeGrom.
You know what? Let's let Jake host the show tomorrow.
Hey,
I'm going to, yeah.
Jake's hosting.
We got Carton starting tomorrow, by the way, for those of you listening to this show.
Carton and Friends, 9-1, live on YouTube, on Twitch, on the radio. If you missed Greg Carton, he's back.
Or if you want to hear Corey Parson for 4 hours, Michelle Serpico for 4 hours, also good reason.
Sure.
Or if you don't know who Greg Carton is, you should probably tune in, man. He's a very talented man.
Super talented.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Yep.
Nice guy.
Absolutely.
Sorry, Magnurius Sierra.
That is a Nando.
We did not get to you. We did not get to Drew Hutchison. We did not get to Steven Dugar. Anthony Santander. Yeah, there were news items. Tyler Skaggs. Thanks, everyone, for joining us.
Jake's
Matty Moe, welcome back. Bye, Jakey.